podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Right, hello, welcome to episode 226 of Gig Pod, hosted by everybody's favourite guy, Reedzo. Lucky me, I'm the host this week, but Stevie's here with me as usual. Hello, Stevie.
Hello, John. Yes, thanks for doing the honours this week.
I am a hero and a legend. So we're going to talk about our thrilling 2-1 win over Dundee yesterday, which keeps us 3 points clear, 5 goals ahead with 4 league games to go.
If you get your attention span to do that, mate, your phone's going off with your group chat notifications.
That's
fine. I
don't
know how hard you find it.
It's just about Aberdeen stuff, so I'm ignoring that now. Those crybabies. But yes, so the 2-1 win over Dundee, and there was only one change for last week, which saw James Forrest replacing Yang. Did that surprise you, or did you expect Jamesy to get the nod?
Great move by Brendan, but I was surprised because I think Forrest is best as an impact sub. I thought it was going to be Lewis Palmer, I really did. But then, of course, there were rumours of the leaked audio that came out from Brendan's Q&A with the investors, where apparently he was laying into Palmer. That was in midweek. And, of course, you look at the impact that Forrest made in that semi-final against Aberdeen. And the guys at Celtic OK on Instagram actually said, "Does James Forrest deserve a start tomorrow?" And I actually replied on it, said, "I think he's best as an impact sub. I think if he starts, it could be a mistake. But the £3 million man knows far better about football and about James Forrest's abilities from the start than I do, John, because, Forrest was the game changer for us in the end, the match winner. And again, what an impact for a guy who Brendan has said is the best winger at the club. And let me flip this to you now. Now, I know for ages we raised an eyebrow when he was saying that and was like, is that just typical Brendan blowing smoke up somebody's arse who hasn't been featuring much this season? But right now, you've got to say probably is.
I think maybe Dyson might be.
I don't know, but probably Dyson's still out of the team now, and if you look at the options, Forrest is the best.
Players that are available, he is the best. I mean, I thought Palmer was just stupid when he came on yesterday. I mean, that shot he took near the end, just preposterous.
Do you know what that reminded me of? Do you know who would have done that? Somebody like Anthony Stokes.
That's what a guy in an unnamed forum said.
Really?
I said, he says, no, he was talking about that, and he was talking about Adam Eda's daft flicks.
Oh, well, God, Eda, I'm sure.
And the midfield, but I want to talk about the midfield. But no, that was a bit reminiscent of Stokes. Stokes on the pitch, thankfully.
Stokes? No, I remember there was a game against Dundee United, and I think it was the one where Joe Ledley said half the players were hungover after Carrigandy. That was the one we won 1-0 where Stokes himself scored in the last minute.
I watched it in a pub with four Tims, Bruce Hill.
So you did. But I remember in the first half of that game, I'm sure Stokes had like two men out wide. If he just squared it, it would have been like a goal for us in the first half, right in stoppage time. And he had this mad shot for like 25 yards, and I think the goalkeeper was Cherniak at the time or something. He was just laughed at it. It was wild. It just reminded me of that. It was crazy. So I don't know what gets into our players' heads up at Dundee.
No, I mean, the players yesterday I thought were stupid at times, especially the start of the second half, which we'll talk about. So let's talk about the game overall. I mean, we started it brilliantly. Coon had a couple of good efforts in goal. The much maligned, and rightfully so, Greg Taylor nearly scored. It was a good save for the keeper. But then after the first 10 minutes, we sort of did our usual, fell out of it. Dundee, I thought, played well. I can see why they're top six. I know you've criticised them, but in their terrible pitch. But I thought, I don't know if that says more about us or them, but I thought they played well. I mean, you could say the same about St Mirren. I mean, I thought, for what I saw, they played well against Rangers, and they're another poorish team. I don't know if that what I says about the standard of Celtic Rangers this season, which is pish poor, I think, to be kind.
Yeah, it's like two over-the-hill boxers, isn't it? Slugging it out in one of the charity bouts.
Like Stallone and De Niro in the film, I think it's called Grudge Fight or something, or Grudge Match. It's not very good, but not as good as the Rocky films anyway.
Oh, Rocky 4, I love that classic. Oh, the robot when that comes in with the cake. Oh, it was brilliant.
Thanks, Alan. But we hummed and hawed the Jews, but then we took the lead in the 30th minute with possibly Kyogo's only involvement in the game, where him and Rio Hatate exchanged passes, and then James Forrest arrowed an unstoppable shot into the bottom corner of the net. A superb volley, and I'd have to say it's maybe one of his top 10 goals for us.
Top 10? It's a top 3.
That one against Aberdeen.
We can maybe talk about that one day, actually, Forrest's best goals, but I know that one against Aberdeen.
One against Rangers, that solo one was good.
Oh, it was terrible goalkeeping, I thought.
Doesn't matter. Any goal against Rangers is good. Yesterday was a brilliant goal.
One of the ones that you reacted like 2 seconds later, going, oh, that's in. It was amazing. Just arrowed it right in, as you say. A fantastic goal at that time. And you're right, though, the way we started, like, I thought we were brilliant. First 10, 15 minutes. And then after we didn't get the goal, after all the pressure, like, Dundee obviously got confidence and grew into the game. And it seemed to rattle us a bit. And we got the goal at a very important time, because getting into that game, getting into even half time, I mean, you saw the state of the second half. Like, that goal, it was really crucial that we, you know, we had a wee cushion.
So let's talk about the second half. And we were texting each other during the game, as we often do, and you said that reminded you the start of infamous performance at Kilmarnock at Rugby Park back in December, where we were 1-0 up at half time. We were much more dominant, by the way, at Kilmarnock in the first half than we were yesterday. And then the second half, we just shit the bed, and Kelly just absolutely bullied us for the entire 45 minutes. I mean, it was just a surprise. I think it took them maybe the last 10, 15 minutes to score. And then the legendary Nat Phillips, great signing, scored an OG. But no, and I have to say, I agreed with you, because they were just dominating. They never really had that many chances. Like, I'd say clear-cut chances. A couple of, like, sort of close efforts for set pieces. But really, we just fell to bits. And a big reason for that is the midfield. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to go in one of my, this guy can't play for us again, bonanzas, like I did with Joe Hart. Carl McGregor can't play, or can't start again for us this season. It's just a joke. And then, remember, I showed you Brendan's quote yesterday, that it's all about getting him fitter, and then he'll be fit for Scotland in the summer.
For Scotland.
Exactly. I mean, I'll be supporting Scotland in the Euros, but Celtic have got a league to win. And Carl McGregor cannot keep starting games. He is just so patently unfit. And I mean, this game on Saturday, we'll talk about more at the end of the pod against Hearts, is so gigantic. I mean, it's our biggest game against Hearts since probably maybe the 2-1 back in 2000. Oh, no, maybe 2006. Oh, no, 3-2. The 3-2 win at Tynecastle, and that was 2007?
No, it was the start of 2006.
2006. Well, either that or the 2-1 the year before when Craig Beattie scored, and that, like, he put his in position.
The ultimate game of the season.
So, I mean, this is probably our biggest game at Hearts. Biggest game versus Hearts, I mean, sorry, since then. Maybe I'm missing one out. But Carl McGregor cannot start that game. He cannot. He's just going to get bullied by Hearts' no very good midfielders. They'll just see him blowing his arse after 5 minutes, thinking, oh, that's fine. We'll just pass the ball around him while Broad stands about looking confused in the touchline and I'd deem a nut in a pub in London.
You know, the Gig Pod faithful will agree with you, because I did put up a poll on that great app Instagram. I think the last I saw, when I made the points about James Forrest turning it around this season, but also Callum McGregor really not starting for us unless he is match fit 100%, and 90, I think maybe over 90% of people said that they were fair points. And usually when we put these things up, and usually when we criticise, and I wouldn't even say it's criticising as such. I think it's a fair commentary more than anything.
Just stating the obvious.
But sometimes there's people that just don't like to see certain players criticised, and I think Callum McGregor definitely falls into that category. But like, even his biggest fan and his blind fanatics would definitely have to turn around and admit that he's way off it now. And it was at the point where if McGregor wasn't subbed in that game yesterday, like, he was going to end up costing us, and he cost us against Rangers. And then against Aberdeen, they had, like, next to no effect in that game whatsoever. And the longer that game went on, me and you were screaming, going, why is he not subbed off? And please, anybody listening, this isn't a witch hunt. You know, I'd love nothing more than McGregor to be 100% fit against Hearts and run the show, right? But this season, when we've been doing this and we've been talking about games, can you name, apart from the matches against Rangers and maybe one or two in the European Cup, right, how many is Callum McGregor been an absolute standout in, when you could say he's one of the best players we've had this season?
He's no, but unfortunately the games against Rangers are the biggest games, and Broad will have it in his head, or Calm's going to have to start against Rangers in 2 weeks. But it's just ridiculous, really. And I know I've got a reputation for slagging off Broge, and obviously I have said the team are losers, which I will take back if we win the league. But that is just such bad management. And like the last two games has been took off like an hour mark. I mean, that's just, I think, an admission that he's nowhere near fit. He never gets taken off. If you look at before his injury, I think, mind, we used to go mad at how he started like every single game, even like the games last season after Ange pissed the league up against the wall.
Big Pod in the early days, like 16-17, remember, I think Celtic made an announcement that he's played something like 58 games in a season.
Two seasons, I think, he played the most minutes in like football.
And we were going mad about it, going, that's going to come back and haunt him, and it's going to damage him, yeah. It reminds me of the KT situation that Rodgers had with him.
And look at his in the news,
yeah,
into the game.
He's just burning him out, and to be learn nothing from CCV last season playing through injury as well, when it was blatantly obvious he needed an operation. I think McGregor does, but it's the fact that we keep putting it off, and it's... I hope it doesn't cost us. I pray God, but I don't think McGregor's going to go tabloid part here under the knife before the end of the season.
I don't think he'll go under the knife until after the Euros, and then if he does get the operation, he'll miss the start of next season for us. And if Achilles operation, I don't think he'll be I'm not a doctor, as you might be aware.
Really?
But I don't think an Achilles operation, I mean, his age is going to be easy to recover for the ankle boot for a good while. So, McGregor, as I say, lasted 62 minutes, replaced by Iwata. In the same minute, Kyogo, who did very little, went off and was replaced by Adam Eder, who still somehow managed to be worse. But 5 minutes later, we scored the goal that should have made the point safe. A strange goal.
Well, what it did.
Well, they did, I suppose. But I mean, should have. But you know what I mean? That should have like meant that like we were on easy street, I should say. So it was a bit of a comedy goal as well, when two Dundee players ran into each other and the ball broke to Forrest, who showed composure that you would expect for a veteran like him. He put it through the goalie's legs, and that was us 2-0 ahead, and three goals in two games for Forrest. Maybe Brendan's right about him being the best winger of the club. And by the way, I did say, as you might remember last week, if we win a league, it'll be because of players like him and Matt O'Reilly getting us over the line. And I thought Matt O'Reilly, we'll talk about the players overall in a couple of minutes, but I thought Matt O'Reilly was poor. But Forrest showing why he deserves to start, showing why he probably has to be in the team next week. We are a very calm finish, I'd say. You wouldn't imagine it was like a goal that meant so much, the way he took it so calm. And his celebrations were pretty sort of calm as well. I've never really known him to sort of go ballistic when he scores, maybe apart from against Rangers that time. But no, it was a decent goal, I'd say, for James.
You know, that was on the hallmarks of a guy that's won plenty of trophies with the
club. I think he's won 22 trophies.
Closing in on Robert Lennox, am I right?
Indeed.
One thing about Forrest that I've always said, right, as a winger, when it comes to skill and trickery, he's not really got much of it, but his positioning sense, he knows where to be. And again, another cliche, but it is true, really does know where the goal is. And we say that time and time again about him, that if you have James Forrest on a pitch against these types of teams, more likely than not, he is going to find a way to score. He always seems to know where to be. Like, even the way they anticipated the two defenders getting in each other's road, most players would have taken another touch and ended up overthinking it, whereas Forrest just got a head down, laces through it. It was a good finish. You can be delighted for James Forrest. You can be so buzzing for him. And the fact that he's proven me and you wrong, we're having a part to play last season. But you can also say that's a damning indictment of Celtic's transfer strategy and recruitment, that it's a guy in his position after his testimonial that is our saviour this season, and the other two wingers in that position have turned out to be very, very underwhelming.
You know, it's not a day with the managers just because of John Beaton and our recruitment.
Oh, of course, the game is rigged.
Well, so Forrest's reward for scoring the two goals was to get taken off in the 72nd minute, where we thought the game won, and the points really should have been secured a minute after that, when Rio Hatate, and his biggest moment of the game, he'd done a lovely bit of skill, he'd drop his shoulder, make a bit of space, and he crunched a shot that hit the inside of the post. That would have been a good goal, and it would have finished the game. But then we, as usual, proceeded to make life difficult for ourselves. Where Dundee won a corner, one of their players, Portales. And it says here in live score that it was a Portales goal, but it wasn't. It was an Adam Eder own goal.
Oh, definitely.
He had a shot, and then for some reason, Adam Eder, on his 6 yard box, took a swipe at the ball for reasons unknown, and it wrong-footed Joe Hart, went under the back of the net, and waited 20 nervy minutes to get through. And really, Dundee had a lot of possession, but they never really looked like scoring, but we didn't look comfortable. I mean, I mind a moment where Iwata, who I did think played well, though, done a really daft pass where he should have made space to shoot and he ended up passing out of play. And like, and Adam Eder get a slag and us all for trying this daft flick where he lost the ball and he committed a stupid foul in like the 92nd minute.
Then, what annoyed me about that foul was the fact that he turned to the ref or anything going, huh, what?
But it was John Beaton, so of course it was.
Of course, the game was rigged, I forgot about that. But that was so, so stupid with Eden. It's some going that to score a ridiculous own goal, and that wasn't even the most daft part of your play when he came on. Have a bit of composure up front against, what is that, a relatively poor Dundee defence, I think, other than Livingston and Ross County. That defence have conceded the most in the Premier. And Ida just looked like an amateur player. He was terrible when he came on. As you say, trying to daft flicks, he didn't hold the ball up well at all. Generally, everything he did was useless. It was, and I'm not getting on the guy's back. I'm just, you're looking for more for your striker to come on after that. And, you know, he's looking around through the hashes, not the best of games. So that's an opportunity for him to come on, show composure, and just like grab that opportunity with both hands and go, right, listen, I'll be starting against Hearts next week, this is my claim. But if anything, he just put himself right back in the pecking order again, because it's going to be through the hash of starting against them after that performance for him. And the foul just was icing in the cake. I was going mental at that. But we did get away with it, of course, and I think it was a deserved 3 points in the end, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, for all we're going on about it, they created very little. They just peppered a goal, I'd say, with plenty of crosses. But for the most part, we defended them all right. It was just getting out of our own box. We kept inviting pressure upon ourselves, and a lot of that was down to the fact that the midfield was non-existent. Callum McGregor, as you say, completely unfit. Well off it. Matt O'Reilly was pretty much anonymous. And Rio Hatate, I thought, out of our midfield three, probably the one that showed up, but even at the end, by his standards, not the greatest of games. I would actually agree with you that when Iwata came on, that's when we looked a wee bit more composed in that area. I think he's got to start against Hearts this Saturday, John.
Probably. But before we go into that, two things. Firstly, I thought the daft passes in midfield were trying during the game were ludicrous. Like, wee flicks that ended up at like chest or knee height and made it dead hard for the players to control. I mean, Matt O'Reilly done that a load of times. It was really annoying. And I have to say, by the way, I slagged him look mad last week, but his standards of thought, Liam Scales did well.
Liam Scales still won the ball at times. Was the first half he was chronic.
I know he did make me want to cry every time he had the ball. But
yeah, but I have to say, some used to fit. There was actually a moment where I think it would have been offside anyway.
It was onside.
I know he was on, but he did not get flagged
onside. But they did the check and was onside.
But it was a fantastic bit of defending by Liam Scales.
It was.
When Dundee were shelling it into the air, I thought Liam Scales was actually pretty dominant and really good defensively then. Obviously, you worry when the ball's in the deck with him.
He's so bad at it.
I know, but no, to his credit, when Dundee were lumping it into the box and everything, Scales, for the most part, did okay. So, yeah, I'll say that there.
See, haters were giving Liam Scales credit.
But he's up against Lauren Shanklin next week.
Yes, I know. I mean, the celebrations at the end, I mean, the fans did celebrate, and rightfully so. I mean, and James Forrest got applauded. I mean, Broge made him the centre of attention. For once, Broge wasn't the centre of attention.
My uncle was there, I know. Yesterday, got a ticket at the last minute for Dundee.
Where did he make it?
He said he was riddled with nerves, basically.
I didn't feel that nervous. I mean, the only time I felt uneasy was when they were dominating us at the start of the second half.
I think it was just more nervous at us making it uncomfortable for ourselves. But I never once felt Dundee were going to truly get that second goal. It was just annoying that we kept inviting all that pressure on ourselves.
I think at this stage of the season, it is about one game at a time. And unfortunately, I don't see us hammering teams. I mean, thankfully, our title rivals don't look like they're going to hammer teams either. So, I don't know. I think this weekend could be huge. And before we go into that, we talked to Matt O'Reilly. He's one of the four nominations for Player of the Year. Did you see that?
Aye, I saw the four. I'd say three were expected, but the greatest right back in the world getting put in there was laughable.
It should have been Miovski, I'd say, rather than Captain Sensational, but it's him, Jack Butland, who unfortunately is a very good goalie, as we saw yesterday, and Lawrence Shatland, who I think will win it by a mile. I mean, I don't think Hearts are actually very good, and that's me saying that, where they beat us twice this season. And the biggest game of the season last week, they did what we all knew they'd do. He didn't really do much, but I think he'll win it anyway.
And I'm sure he'll be dying to make amends on Saturday, no doubt.
I'm sure, yes, he'll be crazed like a madman.
Now, here's one for you.
What?
I don't think we need to do a massive preview for the Hearts game, do you know why?
Why?
Because I have an opposing force personality of the Hearts persuasion.
Well, I won't be listening to that.
But it's Craig Fowler for the Terrace. He's going to be joining me on Wednesday to preview that game.
I'll download it, though, obviously, and keep the numbers up.
Thanks, John.
Well, I'll just talk about the Hearts game a wee bit then, because I'm going to, I think, be watching it in London. That's the plan. I've worked out what pub I'm going to go to, the Cork Tavern.
Did somebody know tell you that on the gig pod Instagram?
They did, yes, and I forgot their name. But that shows what a great guy I am. Somebody on that wonderful website, X, told me about it as well. Well, he'd went to it, and I says to him, do you think they will show the game this weekend? And he said, yes. So he knows who he is, if he's listening. So I'll be watching the game in a pub in that London. You'll be at the game. And this is cliche time. I know we love cliches on GigPod, but... And we always moan when they're like, or the fans need to do their bit, because it should be about the players. But I think for this week and next week, the fans really need to do their bit.
No, you're right. No, I was going to say, remember the game a couple of seasons ago under Ange, when down 1-0, Elliot Sims scored after like 2 minutes or something.
I was thinking about that the other
day. And then the fans did their bit, they got right behind the team, and we rallied and we were 2-1 up at half time.
We went to that game together?
We did, you're right, and Craig Gordon made an absolute fool of himself.
He did.
Do you think he'll be in goals on Saturday?
It's a game that they'll want to win, so aye. And obviously they don't like Celtic.
He hates us.
Aye.
And I hate him as well.
I don't like him either, fuck him. But no, so you don't need to talk much about the Hearts game, but I will then, because we'll be watching it in different countries, Stephen. Even though we're just on the road.
Listen, this kingdom is united.
Indeed, indeed. I suppose if I was up here, I'd be a lot more nervous for it, because I'll be stuck in the big smoke. I'm a bit detached from it, but I mean... I'm not what I did with the Hibs games down there, where I'm doing stuff, and then you're updating me going, this game's fucking terrible. I'd rather like watch
well,
it.
Well, you're luckily not get any updates from
I know,
they signal at Celtic Park.
They signal to anything, but I don't want to be farting about and then like just looking up the score. No, I will watch it, and it's such a big game. It's and we've been it's funny, like the first time we played Hearts this season was, I think, our best performance of the season domestically. Maybe that 4-1 win. We watched it in this very establishment, I think.
No, it wasn't. It was Maulers at the time.
It was, you're right. Never heard of him. But no, I thought we were fantastic. One of our best performances of the season. Matt O'Reilly scored after about 2 minutes, and then we just ran riot. It was like 4-1, going on, I think, 5 or 6-1. But then that 2-0 at Celtic Park, where we sat beside each other, Singhoff, was just... So shite, abysmal beyond words. And then of course the 2-0 a couple of months ago, where of course we got cheated by John Beaton. That day was missing a penalty when it was 0-0. So the old Hearts a result. And I mean the fixtures are a bit weird next week. They were weird yesterday, both of us playing away from home. Next week we're on the Saturday at 3, not on television, thank you Celtic. And Rangers are playing Killy at home on the Sunday at, I think, 1, and that is on Sky, because they've done that deal to get the extra games. And of course Celtic, the club of the people, didn't they do that? Letting the fans do that. I could be watching it in a pub in London, making it easy for me. But no, I'm going to watch it in a pub anyway.
I can't believe Celtic didn't just pander to you, John.
Well, pandering to the fans, it's crap that we've only got 4 games left and one of them isn't on the telly. I mean, come on, man.
It's poor, but do you expect otherwise from Celtic?
No, I really do hope we go against type and have a comfortable win, like we're 3-0 up at half time or something. I mean, I know that's, I see the chance of that happening, a 0%, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a nervy throat affair, I'd say.
I have to say though, I'm looking forward to the game.
Really? Why?
I just think the fans will be right up for it. I think games against Hearts are always Hamish Carton part of here, but it's tasty affairs.
Who's he?
No, they are. They're always really, I guess, no, it's not a rivalry as such, but you know, it's the way they both fit sets of fans, and both clubs hate each other. And of course,
I don't know about the clubs, but the fans do.
No, the fans definitely do. And I think if Hearts do beat us, they're going to remind me of, like, so far now they remind me of like St Johnston 98-99. Remember they beat us three times in a season. So I think Hearts might be the first team outside of like Rangers to do that in a season.
Well, that's not going to happen though, of course.
Hopefully not. But no, the reason I'm looking forward to it, you know, just like the St Mirren game, I think the fans will be well up for it. If you can remember back to that St Mirren game, first half wasn't good at all. Pretty poor in all honesty. But the fans stuck with the team, encouraged them going off the park, and the players repaid us, because in the second half, I thought they were far more improved and we get the 3 points. I think the fans will know what's at stake. The players hopefully know what's at stake. The manager does too. And I'd just love to get it right up Naismith, Shankland and some of the Hearts players. I'm sure the players won't be thinking like that. It'll be professional for them. But yeah, it's an added edge, isn't it? Because these games against Hearts this season generally have been pretty spiteful affairs.
Thanks, John Beaton. But I hope it's not a nervy game. I hope it's a comfortable win, but I think we'll win. I think we'll win, but I think it'll be like a tense 2-1 or something where the last 5 minutes are like just panic stricken, you know, like the millions of games we've had this season.
Ah, yeah. You look at the theme of this season, I mean, other than that, the Hearts game, the first match of the season, and then Dundee, really, when we won 7-1. Like, you can't really say we've absolutely gubbed anyone. Like, I don't think the Celtic team are good enough to be comfortably beating the Hearts, you know.
And that's sad.
This is where we are, and then hopefully if we are winners at the end of the season, me and you have said that things really need to change in the summer, but let's think about that after the end of the season.
Yep.
I'll obviously talk more about the Hearts game with Craig Fowler when I do the preview, and that'll be out before Saturday's game. But for yourself, John, just hope that you're watching it in London and able to actually enjoy it.
I hope so, and we'll be back next week with a review of the game. And I mean, as I said to you, I texted you, we've got 4 games left, 3 are at home, we're 3 points ahead. I think that's what people are still forgetting, we're 3 points ahead. We're 5 goals better off still. That is zero excuses for us not to win this league. None. I mean, I know we've got difficult games, but I mean, by the time we play Kilmarnock, this game everybody's dreading, they'll probably have nothing to play for. So, and we could be going for the title that night. I mean, there's just no reason for us to win this league apart from the team and the manager being idiots, which they have been in the past. But I mean, on the face of it, the games will be difficult. But I mean, I see if like we were in Rangers' position, we'd be like, oh, this is going to be dead hard for us to win the league. We should be thinking that we're going to win the league, and we should. 3 points ahead and 5 goals, it's 3 games at home and there's only 4 left.
Rangers have got a friendly at the end of the season though.
Well, that's true,
and
that's true, and they've got Dundee at home as well, which will probably be a cakewalk. But no, it's in our own hands, and it's just up to us, and I'm just hoping that we have a comfortable win on Saturday, set it up for a Titanic, the Glasgow Derby, which I'll be attending, lucky me. So there you go. Right, well, that's the end of Gigpod for this week. Thank you, Stevie.
Thank you, John. Take it away. Make him away, toys.
Make him away, toys. That's my wonderful Chief Wiggum impersonation now. Right, so catch us in all the usual places, you know by now. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Let's make Gigpod's biggest end of season ever. We've got these huge games coming up. We'll have loads of podcasts coming up. I mean, you're doing one on Wednesday with Fowler. We'll be doing a review next week. We'll maybe even have to do a preview, I suppose, of the Derby.
And I've also got a Kelly fan lined up as well, Mikey, who has been on before.
Yep, so, I mean, we'll probably need to do a preview of the Derby as well, because, I mean,
and I think Celts Media, the boys from Instagram, one of the names going to come on to do a preview with you, John.
All right, well, that's news to me.
Well, there you go, I'm putting you in the spot. Congratulations.
All right, thanks. Hopefully I've got nothing on that night. Right, so you can catch Steve on Instagram to vote in the polls he puts up. They're always good, and he'll have bits and pieces up.
You can catch John on Celtic AM as well, I'm sure.
Yes, well, more than that when it happens, I'd say. But yes, I probably will be on Celtic AM this week. Hooray, I can't wait for that.
You'll be doing bloody stuff in the video content anyway after that game next week.
Are you going to do that content on Saturday?
Aye, don't worry about that.
Thanks, Al. But I'll do the content after the Derby. I'll get one of the guys that we watch games with to film it. Hopefully I'll be filming a celebration as we go 6 points clear with 2 games to go.
Should you get drunk before it for a laugh?
No, I'll get drunk after it. Because it's on a Saturday. If it was a Sunday, that'd be a right pain, but no, thank God it's on a Saturday. Right, more of that next week. Right, yes, I will be on Celtic AM, I suppose, at least once. Well, twice, I suppose, because I'll be doing the video next week too. So, be nice in the comments, please. Right, okay. Well, Steve will be back during the week with Fowler for the Terrace, then a preview, an in-depth preview of the Hearts game, where he can big up Hearts and all the scumbags that play for them and their scumbag fans.
Well, I won't. I'm sure Fowler will, but I'm...
Fowler, I meant no you.
Oh, good, that's okay then.
Right. No, we'll never big up Hearts. No, we don't like them. Right, so, like, as I said last week, Celtic's in their own hands. We know what to do. Just be sensible and let me enjoy London. Right, thanks everybody for listening, and hail, hail.
Social Podcast Network.